Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here. We'd like to welcome you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday. We trust that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has already touched your heart and life in a very, very personal and special way. I'm certain that that has happened if you bothered to take the time to pray and get in His Word today. Every time you come to Christ, He will touch you, He will minister to you, He will edify you, He will strengthen you, He will encourage you. Needless to say, there are a lot of things that are going on in the earth. There's trouble seemingly arising more and more every day. There seems to be a greater spirit of uncertainty that is pervading and permeating the entirety of the world. The earthquake that Turkey, Syria suffered, the toll now is around 50,000 people. Think of the enormity of that, but living here in America or other places around the world, people are ostracized and alienated from that. But that tragedy will have long, long, long-lasting effects on the people there. The earth is groaning and travailing. Why? Because of sin. Sin is destroying everything around us. That's why Christ will return. Because in Revelation 11 and 18, he says, they are destroying the earth, and he returns so that they cannot destroy his creation. And when men live lives of sin, they too destroy most everything that they touch. And I want to encourage you today. I cannot overly emphasize the need to pray and bathe your mind and spirit in the Word of God. I cannot overly emphasize the necessity of staying in the secret place of the Most High. With what's soon going to come, we must spend time in Jesus and in His presence. You're on a battlefield. I'm on a battlefield. I was praying the other day and I thought about all the American soldiers that died in World War II and were buried on foreign soil. They did not get to make it home. They died and they were buried over there in Europe. The sacrifice that many have made throughout the years for America to have her freedom, yet America is rotting from within. America is deteriorating from within. It is so sad. It is so tragic. You'll never understand the gravity of the rot that is in this nation until you get into the presence of a holy God. I want to play this song today. You've heard it before, by Bishop Larry Trotter. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Everyone that is a soldier of Christ and seeking to endure until the end, you're on a battlefield. It is a spiritual battlefield. It is littered with landmines trying to take you out in some capacity, trying to hinder you, trying to impede your walk, your stride, your gait with God. But stay on your knees, friend. It's been said, if you're on your knees, you can't fall. If we stay on our knees, stay in His presence, you will not fall, neither will you fail. and the end. Listen to this old hymn. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
I am on the battlefield for my Lord.
Are you on the battlefield today? I pray you are. And you're obeying 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold to eternal life. Before I get back into the teaching today, rediscovering the Word of God, I want to take a few minutes and encourage everyone listening. There are times you feel alone. You feel alienated. You feel ostracized. You feel no one really cares about you and where you are and what you're going through. But that is not true. Every time Satan speaks to you, he speaks a lie, for he is a liar and the father of the lie. He would even say to some of you today, you're in this crisis because God has abandoned you. God has forgotten you. But nothing could be further from the truth. You must remember Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 and 6, which says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you grasp the magnificence of God when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are times when I kneel down to pray that I may not sense the presence of God like I want to sense. But I remain faithful because I know he is with me. This is why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't go by what I feel. I go by what I know. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:12, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, meaning the coming of the Lord. He knew who he was serving. He knew, in spite of all of his difficulties, that God would be faithful. I think I said 2 Timothy 2 and 12, 2 Timothy 1 and 12. I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded. I am utterly, totally convinced. That's what that word persuaded means. I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed or deposited into his hands. What have we all deposited into the hands of God? Our souls. God is a great depository where we deposit our souls. And Paul said he's able to keep that, preserve and nurture, keep that which I have committed unto him against that day or the second advent of Christ. Do you know that with certitude? You can't walk by how you feel today. You have to walk by faith in God. I love the psalm in Psalms 37, 23, 24, 25. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth. God wants you to know today, he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to fail you. In spite of all the hardship that will come to America, someone sent me an email today. If God does not punish America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe it was Billy Graham that made that statement. You need to understand, the closer we get to the second advent of Christ, the more frequent the labor pains and the more arduous and difficult and painful those labor pains will become. This is not for the faint in heart. You cannot lose heart in this hour. You must be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15, 57-58. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. You have to know with certitude that what you do regarding the things of the kingdom of God is not in vain. Little is much when God is in it. What minute, minuscule effort that you put forth in serving God God is always mindful of it, and God has a record of it. God does not forget anything but our sins when we confess them. Now, how he can do that, and he can know all things but yet forget things, I don't understand that. Maybe you are more brighter and smarter and brilliant than myself, and you understand that. There are things we all remember as a child. We can't forget it. It's indelibly impressed. Yet God will remember our sins against us no more. The journey will sometimes feel very, very, very lonely. You can be in a room full of people and be all alone. A gentleman sent me a little flyer the other day from A.W. Tozer, great, great man of God. And in this little pamphlet, Tozer speaks of the men and women of God and that it is a lonely walk. Because most people don't care to fellowship in the depth that some desire to fellowship with Christ. Paul talked about the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, that certainly is not preached today. Oh, no. Oh, we can't afford to suffer with God and know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. That is just too difficult. See, Paul, that one encounter on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, transformed his life forever. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. How many today as Christians want to fellowship with the sufferings of Christ? These preachers that preach a life without any toil, without any labor, without any trials, without any suffering, are asinine. They are illiterate scripturally. Why? Because serving Christ is self-denial. Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That is the first principle in following Christ. I must deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Jesus Christ. Cross-bearing is difficult. Paul suffered because he was bearing the cross. He was preaching the cross. He was living the cross. He was edified by the cross. He was strengthened by the cross of Christ. In the near future, we'll be talking about Christ, our perfect example in humility. If you follow the Lord, there will be times you will feel God is nowhere to be found. You will feel sometimes that you're all alone. You will feel sometimes that seemingly no one cares. That's part of the pilgrimage. Yet Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus cares for you today. God is going to preserve and keep his people. All the talk of nuclear war, I'll never forget Dimitri Dudeman. He said, God, how will you protect the church? He said, just as I protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I will also keep the church, his body, the redeemed, the blood-bought. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar heated the furnace 7 times hotter than ever. And the Chaldean, Babylonian soldiers that cast these 3 men into the fiery furnace, they were slain by the ferocity of the heat. But not even the smell of smoke or the singe of hair was on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I would be derelict, I would be remiss if I did not tell you that your faith will be profusely challenged in the coming days. Our faith is going to be challenged. We will have to believe God for some specifics. We will have to trust God. Your trust will flourish as you spend time in his presence. The isolationism that you seemingly sense and feel will wane as you spend time in the presence of the Lord. He's your shield. He's your buckler. He's your refuge. He is your high tower. He is your fortress. He is your covering. He is your strength. He is your anointing. Jesus is everything in your life. There is no lack. There is no deficiency whatsoever in Jesus, the Lord's Christ. He is all in all. I love Psalms 41, verse 11, by this. I know that thou favorest me because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. I know God has favored me. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would not be here today, and most every one of you listening would not be where you are today if it had not been the Lord on your side. We don't understand how the enemy seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Neither do we understand that Christ has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He wants you to have the abundant life. I'm not talking about yachts and Mercedes-Benz and all that stuff. I'm talking about a spiritual, abundant life, rich in Christ. Rich in Christ. You can't buy the riches of Christ. You cannot buy the peace of God. You cannot buy redemption, forgiveness, and salvation. It cannot be purchased in human terms. It was all bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid sin's debt, and now you and I have been grafted into his body. It is a supernatural spiritual act when we confess Christ and we believe him for our salvation. We are grafted in. We are joined to his body. We now become flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. And yes, there will be times. It may look dark. It may look bleak. It might even look scary. All of these balloons and all of the talk of aliens. If there is an alien, let me make this clear. It's demons. It's demonic entities and powers. Don't believe the rhetoric. Don't believe the jargon. I don't care what the Catholic Church puts out. I don't care what men put out about all this alien stuff. It'll be demonic entities. But you don't have to fear that, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The world is losing its spiritual ground, and everything is going to tremble. Everything is going to shake, and everything that can be moved is going to be moved. Everything. Everything. Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. God is a warrior. You are serving a God that has defeated death, hell, Satan. He's defeated everything, and he will fight for you if you will trust in him. We don't know all the things that will come. As I shared weeks ago on the telecast, the year 2023, you're going to see small measures of moves of God. You're going to see small incremental measures of seemingly restoration of some things in the Constitution, some of the things in our government. They're going to be small because the whole core is rotten. But God is still in control. I thought about Zedekiah the other day in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the man of God, Jeremiah, prophesied and said, hey, you need to humble yourself, submit yourself, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, and go back into Babylonian captivity, and you will survive this judgment. But he wouldn't do that. Instead of submitting, instead of surrendering, he bowed up. He bowed up against the word of the Lord. Let me share that. 2 Chronicles 36, beginning at verse 11. Zedekiah was 1 and 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He followed Josiah. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah is prophesying. Jeremiah is the mouthpiece for God. Verse 13, 2 Chronicles 36, 13. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart and refused to return unto the Lord God of Israel, and he suffered terribly. Jeremiah goes on to prophesy to Zedekiah, you will see Nebuchadnezzar eye to eye. That's close. You look one man looking into another man's eyes. Zedekiah looked into the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar slew his sons. Then after he slew Zedekiah's sons, he gouged, he bored out the eyes of Zedekiah, chained him with shackles and manacles and fetters, and hauled him back to Babylon, where he died in Babylonian captivity. And it did not have to happen. This is what to me is so profound. Zedekiah did not have to die that way. His sons did not have to die that way. But he stiffened his neck and he hardened his heart. Who can fight God and win? This is why humility, brokenness, contrition is so significant in this hour, because with what's coming, you're going to need the hand of God to prevail in your life. We should be seeking to live in the secret place of the Most High God. You should long, you should yearn, you should be so hungry, so thirsty, so moved by the word of the Lord to want to be in his presence. Oh, David said it very well in Psalms 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You want your joy to be full? You want your cup to be running over? You must get into the presence of God. I can do my best to encourage you, to admonish you, to reprove you, to rebuke you, to exhort you to get there. But you have to go there because you love him. Not go there because I said go there. Go there because you love him. You love to be in his holy presence. And to think any time of the day, any hour, you can have an audience with God Almighty. You can get right into his presence and feel him through the power of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. When you spend time in the presence of God, his Holy Spirit burns out the sin and the dross and the contaminants of the world and purifies your heart and makes your hands clean that you might dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Sadly, but ministries today don't challenge people spiritually. They don't challenge people in discipleship. They don't challenge people in prayer and fasting and the Word of God. Oh, they challenge your wallet, your billfold, your pocketbook, your money. I was sitting in a restaurant 2 or 3 weeks ago with a black minister who had made contact with me, and we were sitting there and we were just kind of preaching at each other, and this guy walked over there. He said, man, I'm looking for Mike Murdoch to walk in the door any minute. And that insulted me. And I turned around and I said, what? Oh, he said, I've heard you guys talking about the Lord. He said, and I saw y'all were fired up. And he said, I thought, well, Mike Murdoch's fixing to walk in. And I said, let me tell you, friend, we don't ask for money. I don't preach about money. I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I wanted him to know you're coming over here making a false accusation against me. This is the contempt. This is the disdain, the disrespect that the world has for all these money, hireling, hungry, panty-waist preachers. Thank God we don't beg. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And David said, he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. All of these gimmicks, all of this chicanery, give out all these numbers, $58, $78, $1,000, all this garbage. That is a disgrace and a stench in the nostrils of God Almighty, what men do purportedly with God. God is a holy God. You think God needs a Federal Reserve note? How we've debased, we have demeaned God and his character and his holy integrity when we do foolish things like that? Send me $1,000 and I'll give you this Bible. I'll give you this book. You ain't giving nothing. You can't get it unless you give $1,000. Just say, hey, give me the book. Oh, no. We will give it to you for $1,000 or $500 or whatever the case. I thought when somebody gave you something like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you can't buy it. Yet we hypothecate, we exchange like chattel, we sell, we buy. Yeah, we have things for sale at the Voice of Evangelism. But you know the truth. That's not the impetus. That's not the emphasis here. The emphasis is Jesus Christ and his most hallowed and holy word. That's what we declare, what we decree weekly. Weekly, bringing to you each week an uncompromising message from the Word of Almighty God. And yes, Paul said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You got to sell out. The reason some are grappling and struggling, they're just not sold out. God, through his son Jesus, expects a full commitment. I shared this some time ago. I want to share it again. I was praying again the other day, and I said, God, thank you for the call of God on my life. I don't know, Lord, if I could have been faithful and endured as a layman, but your call on my life as a minister has demanded I live right, that I pursue you, that I seek you. Your call on my life has, in essence, preserved me and kept me. So many times we don't see the keeping hand and the keeping power of God, but God has kept you. You're not where you are today because you did it. You are standing today because he did it. He kept you. He preserved you. He strengthened you. He made the crooked path straight. He shielded you from the vehement trial and fiery darts of the enemy. Hell and Satan himself sought to destroy you, but God put up a pillar of grace, a cloud of grace in your life to keep you, and you didn't even know it at times. Satan plotted so terribly. He plotted so profusely against your life to destroy you. Yet God, who is rich in mercy, he kept the immeasurable amounts of grace and mercy full in your life to preserve you, to keep you, and to protect you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You see, Paul knew. He knew all too well with his life, going about hailing. The word hail there, H-A-L-I-N-G, hailing. Dragging converts to heinous trials and persecution and imprisonment, etc. But God touched his life. Thus, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. God did not utilize and use grace in a vain way in my life. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. It is the grace of God that gives you the stamina and the endurance to finish the race and finish the course. It's not you. It's God. By God's grace, you stand today. Some of you listening to me right now, if it had not been the grace of God, the mountains of grace and the oceans of mercy, you would not be where you are today. God kept you. As I get older, and I look back over my life, the luminous numbers of times that God shot a measure of grace towards me, because he saw the plot and the peril of the enemy, but God made a way. Not David Lankford. God made a way, and God will continue to make a way. For everyone listening to me that is sold out to Christ, you can rest assuredly God will make a way. I read some years ago, I forget the number now, but for 40 years, God rained down angels' food, manna, honey wafers to 1 million plus or minus several hundred thousand Israelites. And I read an article years ago, how many railroad boxcar loads of manna that would have been. The number is immeasurable. And God, in his faithfulness, every day but one day, rained manna. What a mighty God we serve. What a faithful God we serve. Pillar of fire by night to keep them warm, and a cloud by day to keep them from the scorching heat, and their sandals, their shoes, their garments, they did not wear out. They did not wax and had to be resold or thrown away and get some new. No, God preserved all of that. God, in his grace, in his mercy, God protected, and God gave them so much. And God has done no less for you and I. He has done no less for you and I. God has given us so much. And yet there are times we darken the counsel of God. And yet God has been faithful. God has been faithful. How many times has God shown you immeasurable grace and mercy, and you didn't even know it? Satan was trying to ambush you, catch you off guard, catch you absolutely, completely, totally unawares, and God in his sovereignty, God in his sovereignty protected you. God protected you. Psalm 78:25. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to be full. Angels' food. God is a God that honors his word in its totality. There is nothing that God will be slack. I'm reminding the Lord of 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm pleading with God for souls without number. God, give me tens of thousands of souls. God, touch this nation. God, touch America. God, touch our young people. God, send old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction where young people weep. They are full of contrition. They are full of humility. They are full of brokenness. And they repent and they say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And they pick up their cross and they deny themselves and they follow Jesus, the Lord's Christ. I beseech you, I implore you, pray with me. Believe with me for one of the greatest moves of God that the world has ever seen. God's looking for somebody that has faith in his word. I said, God is looking for someone who has absolute faith in his word and can believe him for the impossible. Mary said, how shall this be? For I know not a man. And Gabriel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. You think God can't take care of your matter. You think God can't make a way. You think God cannot supply the need. This is why I am such an advocate of faithfulness. So you don't come with guilt and condemnation, but you come boldly to the throne of grace and you say, God, I know I'm weak. I know I am anemic. I know I have my fragility. I know I have my faults. I know I have my flaws. I have my pluses. I have my minuses. But God, you make up all the differences. You make up the difference every time. What I lack, where I come short, God, your grace substitutes, fills the void, the vacuity, the lack, the emptiness. Your grace fills that, Lord. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? You say, well, Brother Lankford, I just don't see God sometimes. I just don't feel God sometimes. Join the club. Every day when I come to the radio or television ministry, I don't always feel the greatest. I'm not always on my A game. I'm not always at the zenith, the pinnacle. But I've come too far to doubt God and not trust Him and not believe Him and not glorify and magnify His holy, His hallowed, His most precious name. I've come too far. Too many miles behind me in the pilgrimage. God, help every one of us to be bold as a lion. God, help every one of us to never deny Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Help us to always magnify the Lord. Philippians 1, verses 20 and 21. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Great God in heaven. Paul said, God will be magnified in my clay jar, my earthen vessel, this old crack pot. God will be magnified in it, whether it be by life or whether it be by my death. Christ will be magnified in me. Do you have that kind of determination? Do you have that discipline? Do you have that fervency burning in your heart, that fervent Holy Ghost fire that says, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it by the grace of God. I'm not looking back. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not looking back to this world. This is not my home. It never was my home. My home is in Jesus. See, Jesus understood the agitation of the world when he said in John chapter 14, verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That word troubled there in the Greek means agitated, like an agitator in a wash machine. Agitation. Satan tries to agitate every one of us. But Isaiah 26:3 says, whose mind is stayed on thee, he will keep him in perfect peace because he trusteth in thee. Do you really trust him? Or do you only have trust when things are positive, when things are looking well, when things are going your way? Is that when you trust God? No, you have to trust God when it looks so bleak. Why do we keep trusting God in spite of what we see? Because we know He is faithful. He is faithful. Very, very short phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Just a very, very, very short phrase. But what does it say? The first phrase of 1 Corinthians 1, 9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But just magnify that first phrase, God is faithful. Yes, he is. Yes, he is faithful. Have you ever wondered why God is so faithful? Have you ever questioned why would God be so faithful? God would be so loving. God would be so enduring. God would be so long-suffering. because he became a man to fully understand our humanity. Thus, he knows how to be faithful to you. God is faithful. Faithful. Because he loves us. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for every one of us so we could be saved. And this is not just a temporal, parenthetical time. This is for eternity. And you and I cannot measure that, fathom that, grasp that. Neither can we understand eternity. I get to thinking some days about getting a glorified body. Can you imagine? No more pain, no more restless, sleepless nights, no more inflammation in the body, none of this, none of that, nor poor health, poor eyesight, nothing. Because we receive a body just like his body, just like his glorified body. We have no way to measure the rewards and the blessings of God if we hold on to the end. You have no way to measure it. You have no way of knowing how God will reward you. You have no concept. No man has true concept of the blessings of God in eternity. And all you've got to do is maintain childlike faith and believe God and trust God to the end. It's like any job. Some of you listening to me, sometimes it is so arduous, it is so difficult, it is so laborious. But when the job is done, when it's finished, when it's done, when it's finished, when it's complete, that's what Jesus meant when he said, it is finished. And oh, what a difficult, arduous task it was to be nailed to a cross. But in all the bloodshed, and all the suffering, and all the pain, and all the sorrow, and all the humiliation, he said, Father, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. He died. They didn't take his life. You can't kill God. I said, you can't kill God. But he laid down his life, and he took it up again as the Father promised him. Trust God, friend. Don't waffle. Don't waft and wane in the coming days. Press inwardly. Seek greater, deeper, more intimate fellowship with Christ than ever before. Seek him. Seek him, his personage, who he is. Fall in love with him. Fred Johnson, years and years ago, who sang with Jimmy Swaggart, I think they were in New York, Madison Square Garden, I'm not sure, but he sang an old song, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. And the Holy Ghost got in that song. I mean, the anointing of the Holy Ghost got into that song. Do you really keep falling in love with him? I pray that you do. I pray today that this short parenthetical time of desirous to encourage you to run the race. Don't tire, don't get weary and fall by the wayside. The parable of the sower of the seed. Some fell on stony ground, and it came up quickly with the scorching sun and the heat, and it soon withered away. Be like the soil where the seed fell in, and it was good ground, and it brought forth much fruit. Remember, God is faithful. We'll pick back up tomorrow here in 2 Kings 23. And Josiah recognized the faithfulness of God. He recognized the power of the Word of God. And the sad thing about all of that is this. It didn't last. It did not last. But because Josiah did the right things. You see, that's all God wants out of you. Just do the right thing. What is right in your scenario, wherever you are, what you're going through, just seek to do the right thing. And God will take care of everything else. I promise you, if you will be that much like Christ and seeking to do the right thing, God will take care of you. God will watch over you. God will, listen, when you honor God, God said, I'll honor you. You honor God in all things, God will honor you. If you're seeking recognition, forget it. But if you honor God, God will give you the recognition. God will give you the honor. But you must be a God chaser. You must pursue Christ. You must pursue Him and Him alone. You must follow Jesus. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Paul was following Christ. All it takes to follow Christ is a made-up mind. We've all seen dark, despairing, discouraging days when the clouds were dark and the tempest was strong, but you came out. The sun did shine again. Joy came again. Rays of hope came again. And so it will be when Jesus returns. It'll get dark, for even the very powers of the heavens shall be shaken. But God will come, and the sun will shine, S-O-N, greater than any light that has ever been. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great evening. Spend time in His presence. He'll change how you perceive things.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.